Today, I think we should be on outline number five that has to do with, the condition of our being, which directly would affect the condition of our meetings, and in this case, our meeting in small groups. That we have to be living, we have to be released, we have to be filled with the Spirit, and so on. But you may not be surprised, I don't know, that I actually feel not to do that. Not today. We can do it another time. But to take this opportunity to share something with you on my heart, which is what I've been doing this last 7 to 9 days since the killing of Charlie Kirk. And first of all, let me just make it clear to you, brothers and sisters, that I'm not a mega person. I'm not a Charlie Kirk fan. I hardly knew him before this. I'm not launching into some kind of a ideological or culture war in the Lord's recovery. I'm not here to promote conservative values and even religious values as such. I'm here merely with a burden, a very heavy burden, to speak, to share with as many saints I could regarding just where we are at this time in this country, and what we, by we meaning believers or saints in the Lord's recovery, should be doing in light of what is happening in the world. And I believe in also in light of what God is doing behind the scenes. To go on with the Lord, we need his leading. And it is not a simple thing or easy thing to know the Lord's leading. You just don't wake up one morning and you have the Lord's leading. I'm talking about not just this leading us in small things in our daily lives. I'm talking about the Lord's move on this earth. And I certainly do not claim I have the Lord's leading. That's too, really way too presumptuous to say that. I'm certainly not saying what I, the burden is in my heart, represents the Lord's recovery. That would be highly inappropriate. So I'm only here as one brother in your midst. Nevertheless, a brother who have certain responsibility towards the Lord and towards the church and the saints in the recovery. And just like 911 in a different way, of course, at that time with many more lives lost, and this time it's just only one bullet. So I'm not drawing an equivalence of the two events at all. But I am saying that what happened then, that great tragedy, did cause an awakening among many in this nation. Not necessarily a religious awakening, but you can say a spiritual one. Why did this happen? What is going on? You feel you lost your footing. You feel perplexed. You grieve, you mourn, but you want to understand. Just what has happened. And in a different way, and this time, and with only one person being assassinated or murdered, and not only because of this person and the work he does, I'm not going to comment on that, but I'm talking about the rather surprising impact that this death has on the generally on the national consciousness. Of course, this stirred up all kinds of debates, and you know, another round of these kind of back and forth. So I'm not here to address that. I'm here with the word of the Lord and with just a burden that I believe the Lord laid on my heart to share with the brothers and sisters that I know, that I'm with, so that we may gain perhaps some further perspective that will help us to, so to speak, process this matter in the spiritual sense. And therefore, coming to terms with how we should carry out the Recovery Commission right now. I won't get into what happened because you've read about it already. It's a very controversial person, and definitely a political activist, and doing many things, sort of right wing and all of that, to especially with a target of this younger generation, to return to, as it were, the more traditional values, the more conservative values, and with a burden for this country to be proper, to be strong, and to be right. Humanly speaking, I admire that that kind of a burden. But we must come back to the Lord and touch the Lord and pray to the Lord and with his word in front of us, and also with this word having been interpreted in the ministry or by the ministry in a careful way and with much prayer and consideration before the throne. Brothers and sisters, in brief, in another speaking that was recorded, not video, just audio, just this last Lord's Day 2, my district, not the whole church, just my district in Irvine, which I was told on the church in Irvine platform, it's now viewed 8,000 times, and in another platform, it's over 10,000 in the matter of just the last few days. Telling me that, of course, many of these are our saints, telling me that there is that word is meeting some need. And I also gave a word last Friday, 2 days after the incident, to the full-timers in the U.S. To speak about this. And that I understand is also have gone out. Well, today where I'm with you, Northern California, and I've been with you for years, and I'm still having this kind of a platform, if you will, this meeting, to share something freely with you, with the hope that this will help to perfect all of you to go on in the church life according to the God-ordained way to build up the Lord's body. And that has not changed, that heart and that purpose. But we're in a very special moment. I call that other talk that we're at a tipping point. And not only there is a rise, a tide that have been gathering strength in the past years, and now kind of broke that this huge tsunami of a wave at this since last week. Historically and certainly politically and societally. But I must add very strongly, and I'm convicted of this spiritually, that behind the scenes, where God works in his mysterious ways, but according to his sovereignty, to use the world situation, in our case, the nation's condition, to further his own move, his own purpose, to accomplish his own purpose. That the hand of God is in this. The raising up of this man and this taking away of this man at a relatively young age has to do with God's sovereignty. Just like the current president was almost died in the same exact same manner last year. But was kept and preserved also because of God's sovereignty. In this case, there was already a gathering storm, if you will, I mean that in a good way, of an awakening, a turn, a movement, a move in the heart, in the direction of God, in the direction of the Lord, in the direction of the gospel of Christ, in the direction of the spiritual things. And what this man did, and others like him, were used to crystallize that directional move that I believe must be of the Spirit. If it's not the Spirit, why would man turn to God? Why would man? I mean, this is Luke 15, the woman in the house. That is the Spirit sweeping that house to find the coin. And this is in the same principle. There is a huge sweeping that has been going on, and it's still going on. And with this event, picked up speed, and with this move being even widened much more, not even now, not just this country, but internationally. And the only thing I can draw some equivalence in this case is back in the 60s when some of us were around. I was a teenager coming in, just came into the Lord's recovery, and it was in that very, very unstable, tumultuous period, a decade of assassination, if you will, violence, and all kinds of lawlessness and decline of morality and war in Vietnam and so on. But in that extremely, extremely volatile and violent in those years, God chose to move in a mighty way. For us in his recovery, Brother Lee had just come that decade and building up the church in LA. And by that time, that work results in a revival in LA. And I testify to this firsthand because I was part of that, which continue all the way into the mid 70s before it waned, the revival that is, with the addition of saved ones and seekers in this country, mostly young people of that generation, kind of my age, a little bit younger, the boomer generation, where the church in the recovery rose from a few hundred to thousands in a few years' time. You couldn't think of a worse decade for such to happen, yet it was God. And in some ways, this mirrors that in this very, very lawless society we're in, of violence, of sinfulness, of fraught with all kinds of peril and danger. Morally, for sure, and other ways. There's this move of the Lord. And so all I can say, all I can say is there has been prayer. Prayers by God's children, those who properly, rightly interceded for this country, especially for the next gen. And it's the Lord's timing, therefore. So, if I am correct with my observation, my understanding, there's a turn, there's a seasonal turn of the Spirit's doing and moving. And I th suppose this will continue for some time. You know, this Lord's Day will be that huge memorial in the stadium for this person. I mean, I heard both the president and the vice president will be there, and as I am reflecting on all of this and looking at the young lives and the young people, Generation Z, Generation Alpha, and looking at, on the other hand, what God wants to do and still needs to do, all I can do is bow my head to worship the Lord. That even a good part of this country has abandoned him. He has not abandoned this country. And I don't mean so-called to make America great again. I'm not in that realm. But I am in the realm of God blessing and preserving this land for his use, for his use. And a generation for his use. Not everybody, but some. That took place in the 60s into the 70s. Now, what should we do? That's the point. That's the question. What should we do? Well, first of all, we are children of God, we are saved and regenerated believers of the Lord. And so we should do what we should do as the Lord's disciples. And what he commanded us to do remains in effect, remains most relevant, remains most necessary. God has not changed his mind. The Lord has not altered his initial commission to his church, and that is to go. Go, therefore, and disciple the nations, baptizing them into the name of the triune God and teaching them all that I have commanded you. That threefold or three-prong commission is still with us. In Mark, to preach the gospel to the whole creation under heaven. In Luke, to preach the gospel of the remission of sins, of redemption, of reconciliation with God, of justification. And then, even in that gospel of life, the book of John, where apparently, there's did not seem to have a commission. But it does, and I have actually touched upon this with you again and again, and that would be in number one in chapter 15 and number two in chapter 21. In 15 is, you are the branches, I'm the vine, true vine. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that and have set you, not just chosen. Set you means I put this object in a certain direction, you know, this little battery-driven car, a little toy. I set it in a direction so it will go towards a certain goal. That's set. So we're not just called, not just chosen by the Lord. We were set by the Lord that you would go forth. This movement here, go forth, don't stay at home. Go forth to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And in chapter 21, it is to what? Even though it's just a word for Peter, but by extension is to all of us. Go and what? Feed my lambs. Go and feed my sheep. Go and shepherd my sheep. So fruit bearing and shepherding is our commission in the way of life. These things have not changed. And these things we all share as Christians. And so, my brothers and sisters, I feel the first response that we have, not only to the event, but to God, to the Lord, as we ask ourselves this question, is to be in a position, in a posture, with an attitude. To say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. And I'm going. Somewhat in the past years, for us in the recovery, longer than a few years, somehow, somewhat because of the outward opposition, because of people labeling us with bad names, we have become passive. We have become fearful. We have become intimidated, really, really. We have adopted a bunker mentality. We have sort of considered ourselves underground. We don't say these things or use these words. But in terms of our commission, fulfilling our commission to preach the gospel, to proclaim the truth, we have lost much of our boldness when compared to the early years. Our faith has gone down. I think it's time for a change, brothers and sisters, for the churches and the saints in the Lord's recovery. Then number two, we're not, besides being just believers with many Christians, and by the way, today more are rising up to preach the gospel, and I stand with them. These are my brothers and sisters, including this Charlie Kirk. We're one in this commission for the church, but for us in the Lord's recovery. We have an added commission, a special commission. Why? Because if we call ourselves the Lord's recovery, if we believe in that, that that is not just a name, then we are here to cooperate and to coordinate with God to carry out this recovery's move. And that recovery of the Lord is to recover the high and complete and full gospel of God. It is to recover all the truths in his word, basic truths, deeper truths, even the higher truths, highest truths. And not only so, but the recovery of the body life, the organic church life, as God's testimony on the earth, to be the expression of God, to be the enlargement of Christ. We know these things, right? It is also to recover our experience of Christ, not just firstly the revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, but even more our subjective experience of Christ as our life. And finally, this recovery is to recover the church life, practically, locality by locality, where all saints serve and all saints function, all saints speak together, that together we will be built up as a priesthood and a spiritual house. And so and that's so that the body can build itself up in love. I mean, this is scriptures, my dear brothers and sisters. And if we say we are the Lord's recovery, we should be doing that. And especially with what is happening, we should be now even more intensified by the seven spirits to do that, rather than now we've been existing for 60 some years in this country. You know, we still have the truth, we still have all these things, we have a church life, and somewhat joyous and satisfying. That's wonderful. That's wonderful for us, for our benefit. But I'm talking about God's benefit. I'm talking about his unfinished purpose. I'm talking about his coming back and the reestablishment of his kingdom on this earth. That has not happened yet, and that must happen. And if we are the Lord's recovery, we have a part, or we should have a part in that. I've been telling some saints, I just did a recording this week on Hannah, you know, Hannah, Samuel's mother, in 1 Samuel. It's just three chapters devoted to that, Samuel's birth. And our brother Watchman Nee interpreted that in a very, very particular way, that what is needed today are people with Hannah's ministry. and Hannah's prayer, which really is a vow. It's a Nazarite vow that he made on behalf of the child that he was asking of Jehovah, but has not received that answer yet. And he said that ministry and that prayer for a son, Samuel, is not for Hannah's benefit. Yes, she was provoked. You know, she was oppressed. And so she asked for a child to remove her shame. But she was also responding, or rather coordinating with the moving God within her, being a godly woman. To echo what is in God's heart in praying that prayer, because God needs a Samuel. God needs a person to turn the age, to end 400 years of the judges, to bring in the age of the kings, and eventually to anoint David as the king. That has to do with the coming of Jesus Christ. So many hundred years later. And so today, our brother said, we need this ministry, the ministry that will produce more overcomers. Overcomers are not elite commandos. Overcomers are normal Christians against a degraded and fallen situation of the church. And so, dear saints, we have work to do. If the Lord's recovery is still relevant, which I believe it is, we, you, me, not just so-called co-workers or elders, but us, the saints, the members of the Lord's body, the little ones. The Lord spoke to Philadelphia. You just have a little strength. Just a little strength. Philadelphia is not strong people there. Philadelphia is filled with people with little strength. But they kept the word. And they did not deny God's name or the Lord's name. So that church was normal. That church was praised by the Lord, the only church of the seven churches that did not have received the Lord's rebuke. We need, brothers and sisters, to go, not just as all Christians, to preach that gospel of grace, of salvation, to bring people to Christ, to help them be saved and not perish. But we have a job to do to bring such ones, and even dormant Christians, recover Christians, nominal Christians, seeking believers to know the truth, to know the truth more fully, like you and I do. Who are we? I just don't know how I got here. And here, and all these years, just receiving these riches of Christ, unsearchable riches of Christ, these astounding truths, like a waterfall. And more or less, I'm constituted with this. You too. You must not say you are not. You are to some degree. But as Paul says, that His is the responsibility to preach those riches, not just to receive and enjoy those riches. He said, grace is given to me for you. He was not just given something merely for his own enjoyment and satisfaction. It is given to him so that he could minister, could proclaim, could speak those things to the Gentiles. What's given to me is for you. Dear brothers and sisters, what's given to us in the recovery is not just for us, it's for them. And there are hundreds, thousands waiting for these riches to come to us. And if we don't go, they may not find that out. And that's why we have Bibles for America and such. That's why we give away this wonderful Bibles that with the interpreted word. That's why we do these things, dear saints. Paul says two phrases always often in tandem. One is the gospel of salvation. The other is the word of the truth. He always spoke them in the way of acquisition, meaning these two are the same, of different aspects of the content of his preaching. These days, along with preaching the gospel of salvation, we have to proclaim, we have to broadcast, we have to speak the word of the truth. I come back again to the very, very definitive word, I would say, of the desire of the Savior God in 1 Timothy 2. The desire of the Savior God is, A, that all men would be saved. Earlier, he charged Timothy and those with him in the church life, first of all, to pray with intercession, with petition, with thanksgiving for all men. Why? Because all men need to be saved. But it doesn't end there. There's a B part. The B part is, and the next verse, and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. So there you have it, brothers and sisters. The gospel of salvation, the word of the truth. They are the same. But in another sense, it's two parts of our commission to proclaim these things. The gospel and the truth. And I feel, dear saints, with this tide rising, with this awakening proceeding and growing, with the Lord's merciful hand upon this country and young Americans especially, having a turn, even thinking about God, wanting a Bible. Did I mention this already? The average week online request for a Bible at BFA, Bibles for America, is 3,000. By now, I think it's easily 8,000 or more, the same period of time. Double, triple. What's going on? Well, it's easy to know, easy to see. People want the Bible. And ours is a good Bible in that it's an interpreted Bible. It's a Bible to help you understand the Bible, the Word of God. It's there. And it's just happening. It's just sweeping this nation. Even in some places you would think it's not going to happen there. It is happening there. When the Spirit moves, He moves. It's not up to you or me. This thing is rising up in a grassroots kind of a way. There's a groundswell, spiritual groundswell happening. I didn't start this. You didn't initiate this. It is the Spirit's work. At this time, we must rise up, brothers and sisters, now, not later, now, to cooperate with God and coordinate with God to go forth to fulfill our commission. And brothers and sisters, with this, we have the content. We have the ministry. We have the books. And by the way, I would like to tell you quickly, people say, well, what do I give? How do I preach? How do I speak? Well, we have all that done for you already. You go to bfa.org. You will find videos, gospel videos, truth videos, very well, high quality to help people to know salvation, to help people to know the basic truths. We have a blog with 160 posts, or however many posts, short, bite-sized, that can help them to be saved, to know the Lord, to experience Christ in a basic way. We have that. We have tracks, wonderful tracks, wonderfully designed and presented of the gospel from so many angles. We have that. We have a little book as a guide for people who receive a Bible to study, if by themselves or in a small group, in a topical way, the basic truth in the New Testament from start to the end. It's done. It tells you what verse to read. It tells you what footnote to read. It tells you the references. You can easily speak the word and study the Bible with your friend, your contact, the person you're burdened for. We have a book with 90 days. We call it spiritual nourishment for a believer. 90 days, one a day, you know, kind of like the table of wilderness in the wilderness, the streams in the desert. One a day for 90 days. We did that initially for the military guys, service members in this country, in a little book they can put in their uniform. Now it is expanded to be still a small booklet, 90 days. It's there. And other things. Dear, I'm not here plugging for BFA. I'm not here to promote the organization. I am saying, brothers, the content, the materials are there already. And you just go there and access it, and you can email them, you can send the videos out, you can post it, you can whatever. And even the more I understand now, there it was already a program where you can, by paying postage, you can get 8 Bibles a month. A month. That means if you patiently give away 8 Bibles a month, and in today's climate, 8 Bibles is easy. Even if you don't give it away indiscriminately, but carefully, in this climate of seeking and people being coming out in boldness to accept and receive the Bible and to read it, you can have it. There will be 196 Bibles a year. If in the US there would be 3, 4, 5,000 saints that would do that, in 1 year, there would be 500,000 Bibles that have gone out. And this is not counting even we have sets of books. There's one set called the basic elements of Christian life. There's nothing better for new believers to read with them, to help them in their Christian walk. You know, when one person is restored or turned or revived or saved, three things they would want and need. Number one, they would want the Bible. They just want and need a Bible. And we have Bibles. And number two, they want fellowship. In other words, they want help. They want guidance. Kind of like Philip, the evangelist, and that eunuch from Africa. I joked a little bit to say, I thought an evangelist only worked in a stadium, you know, fill a stadium. No, this evangelist, Philip, the Spirit caught him away and sent him to just one guy who happened to be reading the scriptures, Isaiah, and didn't know what it was talking about. And before long, this person said, "Where's the water that I can be baptized?" And the story had it that this person may be the first of the Christians after the Lord's death and resurrection in Africa. Who knows that one person? Brothers and sisters, don't think we don't know. This could be your cousin. This could be your colleague, co-worker. This could be a friend of yours, an old friend of yours. Right now, this tide is sweeping, from what I just read, not just with the young people, is beginning to affect the older generation. The parents, what's going on here? In the 60s, that happened, and we didn't have so much material. Trust me, we did not have. We have only the King James Version, filled with little changes because it's not well translated. Today we have the Recovery Version, well translated and footnoted. Brothers and sisters, I would say we have no excuse. What is needed today is a newfound boldness and faith and power. What is needed today is a revival in our being, a revitalization of our spirit. What we need today is the fanning of the flame for that fire, for the gospel, for men, for people. Be set, be kindled, even to be inflamed. We have the gospel, we have the word of the truth. We have even, brothers and sisters, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is not just the Spirit of life, but we have the Spirit of power. We call it the economical Spirit. We not only drank of the Spirit, we were baptized in the Spirit into one body. And this Spirit is ours. It is. God gave the Spirit to us not by measure. He promised. This is the promise of the Father. And we have it today. If we are right with the Lord, if we are right with the church. This spirit is ours to enjoy, ours to claim, ours to apply. Ready, ready. You said, I don't feel it. Well, I would like to challenge you. Go. When you go, you will feel it. The spirit follows the preacher. How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the glad tidings. If we don't speak, no one will hear. There won't be the hearing of faith. And if there's not such a hearing, no one will obey the gospel. Today, we need those who speak this gospel with boldness. And I gave these verses to the full-timers, and I'm going to give it to you right now. On the matter of boldness, mostly from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13, 29, and 31. Chapter 9, 27 and 28. Chapter 13, 46. Chapter 14, verse 3. And of course, Ephesians chapter 6, 19 and 20, where Paul even asked the Ephesians to pray for him that boldness would be given to him to proclaim the mystery of the gospel as an ambassador of Christ. Dear saints, wait no more. Wait no more. It's time to be awakened ourselves. Night is dark. Day is near. Let us put on the weapons of light. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go. Go forth. To speak the words of this life. And I have these wonderful few verses here to end that this Holy Spirit is in our human spirit. It is the mingled spirit now. So in 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of cowardice. That cowardice does not come from God. It's natural. But he has given us a spirit of what? Power, number one, and love, number two, and sober-mindedness, number three. Then he said, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you, by the laying on of my hands. So, dear saints, we have such a spirit of power and love within us already. We need to fan it. We need to fan it. The best way to fan it is to pray, and the next best way is to go and speak, and you will find that spirit of power with you, operating with you in a dynamic way. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul bowed his knees to the Father that we would be strengthened with power, strengthened into the inner man by the Spirit, and according to the riches of his glory. Paul prayed that way. That spirit is already in us. Paul was not praying for something to drop from the sky on us. Paul was praying for something that is already in our spirit to be strengthened. Our brother said, Pray this verse for 30 days and see what happens. Then lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul testified that he came to the believers in Corinth, particularly, chapter 2, verse 4. Let me turn over there. He said, what? He said, and my speech and my proclamation, Paul's preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul was making a point. He said, I was with you, Paul confessed, admitted, in weakness, in fear, with trembling. I came to preach, and I didn't use persuasive words, eloquent words, but I came to with the demonstration of the Spirit. Francis, it's not eloquence. It's not how you can do fantastic public speaking. No. It's how much you're on fire. It's how much you have this burden, unquenchable burden. It's how much you love the one that you are with. You therefore demonstrate your spirit. You exercise your spirit. You release your spirit. And in that, there will be the power. I would even say there will be the authority of the Spirit with you. Brothers and sisters, you don't need to be a gifted speaker to do this. You just need the heart. You just need to go. You just need to say something. Jesus loves you. You just need to tell them God loves the world and gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe will not perish but have eternal life. You just need to say that. With your spirit, with love. This Mr. Kirk, he studies the Bible, but he does not know the Bible the way we do. I can tell you that. I'm not being proud, it's a fact. But he did what he could do. He spoke that day when he was killed, the gospel under that tent. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 4 and 5, and this I have delivered to you, that Christ Jesus died for our sins and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He quoted that 2 times. I saw, watched the clip. I say, my goodness. And this would be a lot of people, some opposing, some jeering, ridiculing him. He was just speaking. Matter of factly, the day before, he told one of his, the one or brother who was sort of his mentor, spiritual mentor, and he quoted 1 Corinthians again. This is Mr. Kirk. In chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, I think verse 9, he said, "But great wide door has been opened for me. But there are also many adversaries." Check that verse out. That's the day before. Oh Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, you can tell where my heart is at. And lastly, this is really the last things I would say. I pray the Lord would restore our boldness, that we would not be timid or intimidated. We will not be silenced anymore. In this sense, I appreciate Charlie Kirk. He spoke the truth. And we speak the truth, which is the truth of Christ and the truth of God and the truth of the Spirit. The truth in his word. So Paul, again, he said this. Let me see here where I am. He said this. He said, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and foolish. So for my part, I'm ready to announce the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, both to Jews first and to the Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed in it out of faith to faith. So Paul, of course, he was commissioned on the way of Damascus to be a minister of the word to the Gentiles. He was not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel itself, the word itself, is the power of God. It's not even us, the messenger, the ambassador. It is what we proclaim, what we preach. And that's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. There's not a right time to preach. Every time is the right time when God places us in front of someone. If you get that 8 Bibles, I strongly encourage all of you to do that for 1 year. If we do this in Northern California, it will do something. The word is sent by God and will accomplish something for the purpose for which it is sent. This is in the Old Testament. As seeds for the sower, as bread for the hungry. And then finally, I'd like to read also 2 Timothy chapter 1, the apostle's word to his son Timothy after he had told him, charged him about the spirit that he has received and to fan into flame that gift of God. He said this, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer evil with the gospel. This is the gospel personified. The real gospel is Christ. Suffer evil with the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. Brothers and sisters, we have been given the message of the highest order, the highest plane. We have the gospel that explains the mystery of this universe, the mystery of God, the mystery of Jesus Christ, the mystery of the meaning of human life. We have been given all of that, and people don't know. We need to tell them. And if we don't, one day we have to face the Lord, to whom more is given, more is demanded, more is required. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, is already moving in man's heart, in this country. This spirit should be also moving amongst us in our midst, in the recovery. Let us rise up, brothers and sisters, and be today's Hannah, fulfilling that ministry to pray, to echo God's need, to go and bring forth sons, sinners that are made sons, prodigal sons that have wandered astray, seeking sons who want to come back to the Father's house. Brothers and sisters, we need to go to them. The Lord, be merciful to us and give us the grace we need. I am assured that if we would shake off our passivity and become properly aggressive, those who know their God should show strength and take action. The Spirit will be with us.
Yeah.
Amen.